The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Never miss a show. Take us with you 24 hours a day. Go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Professor John Eastman, Henry Salvatore Professor of Law, Chapman University, joining us to talk about some Supreme Court decisions this week in the news. Professor Eastman, thank you so much for taking time to join us.
Thank you for having me on the show, Larry.
Well, first, the Supreme Court is striking down part of an Indiana abortion law, but affirming another part. Walk us into this story.
Well, and let me, that's the top of the news headline, but let me, I think there's a very important aspect of this case that people need to focus on. The Supreme Court decision was a per curiam decision, which means unsigned by any particular justice. And it overturned the Seventh Circuit's decision, striking down a portion of the Indiana law. It denied review or declined to take review on the part of the Seventh Circuit decision that had struck down another part of the Indiana law. And I think that's very important because it means the Supreme Court has not decided that the Indiana law is constitutional or unconstitutional with the aspect of it that prohibited abortions based on sex or race selection. It just declined to review that. And it specifically notes this is the first case addressing this issue. We tend not to grant cert or take up a case before we have multiple courts of appeals having weighed in on it. And so they've just said we're not going to decide this issue now. They haven't said that the Indiana law is constitutional or unconstitutional.
Now, the media spin on this is Supreme Court strikes down part of Indiana abortion law. Is that the media spin from the left wing?
Well, it's the spin, and it's grossly inaccurate. The accurate statement is Supreme Court upholds a portion of the Indiana abortion law. This was the one that required abortion clinics to dispose of fetal remains by cremation or burial, and it did not address the other parts of the Indiana law.
So leave the media who puts out these headlines on the different wire services to do what they will, and their lack of either understanding or their thumb on the scale has changed this story.
Well, it's radically changed. It's made it sound the opposite of what it actually is. And it's not like the people that put that story out there aren't aware of what denial of cert, a petition for writ of certiorari means. They know full well that it means the Supreme Court has not decided the issue. They've just declined to take it up. Now, the effect of that is it leaves in place a lower court decision that had struck down the sex selection and race selection ban in Indiana law. But the Supreme Court itself makes very clear in the order that it is not deciding that issue. It is waiting for the issue to percolate a little bit more so that other courts of appeals can weigh in and the Supreme Court can have the benefit of a broader considered judgment of the lower courts.
Well, there you have it on that one. Let's go to the other one that has made some news, and this has to do with the legality of transgender bathrooms. Set this up.
Well, this flows from a Obama administration policy that had forced school districts to allow boys into girl restrooms and girls into boy restrooms if they claimed to believe that they had a gender identity contrary to their biological gender. And the Trump administration revoked that regulation, but some of the school districts kept the policies in place. So a group of students in Pennsylvania sued, claiming allowing a boy into our showers when we're half undressed is violation of our privacy rights. And the lower courts rejected that claim. And again, the Supreme Court did not decide the issue. It just denied cert. And all we know is, I think the hint we have from the Indiana abortion case is exactly the same here. And the media are misconveying the story on this case as well. The Supreme Court did not uphold the transgender bathroom policy. It declined to review the constitutional claims that had been pressed in the lower court. And again, waiting for more courts to weigh in on that issue so that they can have the benefit of broader thinking from different courts of appeals.
In both of these cases, is there a battle in the narrative that's being waged by some in the media? Is this what it's coming down to, that although those who are knowledgeable and scholarly like yourselves, who understand the technical terms, get it, but most people are going to hear the news from the ABC, CBSs, and NBCs? Let's take a listen to how it's being described. This is how NBC's Pete Williams explains the portion of the Indiana law that they say the Supreme Court struck down. That's their wording, quote by quote. Take a listen to their story.
It said you can't make abortion decisions based on sex, race, or disability selective abortions. And today the Supreme Court affirmed the lower court decision that invalidated that provision.
Is he technically accurate in what he says there?
No, he's not. And the Supreme Court has made clear time and time and time again for two centuries now that a denial of cert is not any disposition or a statement on the merits one way or the other. And so his error there, he did set it up properly. He said they declined to review the lower court decision. But then he made a fundamental error. He said they affirmed the lower court's decision. They did not. They declined to review it. The effect of that is the lower court decision stays in place, but the Supreme Court has not weighed in on that substantive issue. And just to get that point, you know, they go out of their way to make sure people don't misunderstand that in their order today, saying that, you know, we are simply declining to review. Our opinion expresses no view on the merits. You know, they rarely put that so explicitly in the court, but they knew people were going to manipulate the story, and they put that directly in the opinion to try and forestall that. But apparently that the NBC reporter couldn't read to the end of the opinion.
Now, here's more. This is NBC's justice correspondent Pete Williams in how he describes the latest from outside the high court. Take a listen.
They upheld the part of the Indiana law that restricts how fetal remains are dealt with. They cannot be disposed of as medical waste, but they invalidated the part of the law that would make it harder to get an abortion in the first place.
Did they indeed invalidate, quote unquote?
No, they left in place a lower court decision that invalidated it. And again, quoting the Supreme Court, the end of the opinion, our opinion expresses no view on the merits of the second question presented, namely whether India may prohibit the knowing provision of sex, race, and disability-selected abortions by abortion providers. To say that the Supreme Court invalidated that law is reporting malpractice, quite frankly, because Brian Williams knows, or Williams knows, what the denial of cert means. And what they're trying to do is put a spin on the narrative here that this Supreme Court, which everybody anticipates may well be looking at reversing Roe versus Wade or revisiting it, has already now weighed in on a key abortion case, and the pro-abortion side won.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
The narrative they're trying to push out, and it's blatantly false.
That was correspondent Pete Williams, just for clarity that you referred to.
Sorry, Brian Williams.
But I was going to ask you about that. Since we have you here, recently we have seen these stories about Alabama and other states that have come along with these heartbeat bills. What is the backstory? What is the strategy, and what are they doing?
Well, you know, and I can tell you, both sides of the abortion fight anticipate that the replacement of Anthony Kennedy by Brett Kavanaugh may have changed the dynamic on the court. Remember, Kennedy was the key swing vote in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, along with Justice O'Connor. Justice O'Connor's been replaced by Sam Alito, and now Anthony Kennedy by Brett Kavanaugh. And the anticipation is, now we already know where Justice Alito's come down, but the anticipation is that Brett Kavanaugh may be less protective of Roe versus Wade than Anthony Kennedy proved to be. I was on accidentally invited to a phone conference call, strategy conference, with Planned Parenthood a while back here, and they said within a year they expect Roe versus Wade will be reversed. That was the premise of the conference call. And so I think both sides are gearing up for that, and I think the states that have been hostile to Roe versus Wade and protective of their old abortion laws, and recognizing that we're slaughtering millions of innocent babies in the womb here, are reviving their laws to be an opportunity for the court to confront the issue on whether Roe versus Wade should be overturned.
And another story that's been in the news has been some of these Democratic candidates, the Democrat candidates, are saying that they would only select Supreme Court nominees who affirm Roe versus Wade. And I wanted to ask you about that. It used to be you weren't supposed to do that. You weren't supposed to have a litmus test. It was supposed to be about constitutionality of things judged against the Constitution and not some sort of pre-test. Your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I always like to put, you know, raise a different factual scenario and see if their position would hold true. So let's go back 70 years prior to Brown versus Board of Education, and the law of the land is separate but equal according to race. That was the Plessy versus Ferguson decision in the late 1890s. And would they say that, you know, that settled law, it clearly was by then, it lasted a half a century, and that we're going to demand that that any justice appointed to the court affirm their that law and that they won't overturn it? And the answer would be, of course not. Well, Roe versus Wade is considered by many people, and now a majority of Americans, to be on the same scale of obnoxiousness to the law and our moral principles as that one was. And so what they're trying to do is lock in a law that allows prevents states from prohibiting the killing of babies in the womb. I mean, it's really stunning, and yet that's the position they're taking.
Last minute, switching gears totally. Been watching some of the immigration rulings that have been going down by different courts along the way. You know, some of this on DACA and the treatment and letting people in and changing the rules, you're seeing some rulings where, just in the broad sense, judges come along and say, all right, that's too much of a change. We really can't allow you to do this, Mr. President, because, you know, that wouldn't be right now. Almost kind of on top of things that were done before. President Obama changes the rules, creates kind of this special DACA set aside. Immigrants get this, people who come in. And now you get judges who back that up. It's really interesting, the piling on of law. Is there a term for that? Once somebody does something wrong, and then the next court kind of affirms it because, oh, it would be too much of a change.
Well, it's not the piling on of law. It's the piling on of lawlessness. And I think the most important, significant development that may come out of the Trump administration and the Trump era is recognition that the judiciary can be lawless as well, and a pushback against the judiciary. So what you get is Obama issues a not even an executive order, a memo from his Department of Homeland Security secretary, basically eliminating the law on deportation. As a matter of prosecutorial discretion, they say, but then they give out benefits and work authorizations and everything else. Trump comes in to try and repeal that illegal law, and the lower courts are saying that Trump has no authority under his prosecutorial discretion to do that. So it really is a lawlessness, not just by the Obama administration, but now by the lower courts and the judges that he had appointed.
I got to wrap it up there because we're out of time. Professor Eastman, thank you so much. You're always so knowledgeable on these topics. We'll have you back.
AM 870, The Answer.
Up next, The Barack Lurie Show. This week, Barack will discuss his theme. Is there some point at which those on the left say, wait, we're pushing for that now? At what point do you say that's too far? Next on AM 870, The Answer.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.